In the growing light, Ryan and Mildred ran to the back of the building and could see several people running into the orchard, heading for the far corner of the fence. Most of them were out of range by now, but a straggler was still within their reach.
Can you take him down without killing him?
Mildred took her shooter's stance and followed the running man's route closely. Then she fired a shot. The man stumbled, pitched forward, and then rolled up against an apple tree. He didn't get up. Mildred and Ryan ran to catch up to him. When they arrived, the man was backed up against the stump. Mildred's shot had torn up his left calf and broke a bone or two, but the wound wasn't fatal.
Who are you people? Did you kidnap the red-haired woman Fillinger was guarding?
The man didn't seem interested in answering. Mildred pointed her ZKR at the man's head. That seemed to persuade the man to start talking.
We're not loyal to Baron Fox anymore. We're loyal to Norman Bauer now. We were going to stage a revolt against the Baron when your people showed up with that wag. We weren't expecting to be attacked by them, or those muties. We've been on the retreat ever since.
Ryan reared back and hit him square in the jaw with the back of his Sig Sauer.
I don't care who you're loyal to. Your party captured one of our group. I want her back.
The man was slow to answer, so Ryan prepared to give him another blow.
Wait, wait!
I'm waiting.
Bauer has her, but I don't know where he is. I got separated from the rest of the group. They left without me.
I'm going after them.
Wait for JB and the others. We could all go together.
No time. We have to go now.
Then I'm going with you. But we need to let the others know where we've gone.
Ryan looked at the wounded sec man.
I need you to do something for me.
The man could barely speak through his swollen lips.
You want a favor from me?
Yes. I need you to let my friends know where we've gone.
And what if I do?
Then you can tell them that Ryan Carter said not to chill you.
How do I know they won't?
If you give them my name, they won't.
The sec man seemed to think about this, then nodded.
All right.
Ryan and Mildred were gone without another word. When Jack and the women reached the top of the stairs and stepped through the door leading out of the dungeon, the freed women took cautious steps into the hallway, as if they didn't believe they had actually been emancipated.
You're all free to go.
But what happened to the Baron?
He's missing right now.
Then we'll never be free while he's still alive.
We're going to look for him.
Chew and find.
I might know where he's hiding. There's a bunker at the end of this hallway. I heard someone go down that way a few hours ago. It has to be him.
Take me there.
The other women suddenly began moving in the other direction, not wanting any part of the Baron, not even to see him get chilled.
Follow me.
Ryan and Mildred jumped the fence and were on the rebels' trail, but weren't any closer to rescuing Christy. Every mile or so, a straggler would fall behind the main group, fire several shots in their general direction, and then disappear into the underbrush. The tactics didn't give Ryan and Mildred the time or chance to fight, but were slowing their progress enough to let the group and Christy slip farther and farther away. Currently, they were pinned down behind an outcrop between two stands of trees. The trail wound to the left slightly, and the shots were coming from somewhere to the right. Ryan took his brass naval telescope from his coat and scanned the terrain in front of him, but he couldn't pick the shooter out of the shadows.
We know his general area. Let me see if I can come around from behind and flush him out.
Have to hurry.
Mildred started to move, but Ryan held her back.
No, I'm going. You stay here and try to keep him pinned down.
Mildred nodded, and Ryan left. He moved quickly through the trees and waist-high weeds, making sure to keep some cover between himself and the direction the shots had come from, while always on the lookout for movement in the surrounding underbrush. Ryan raised the Sig Sauer as he neared the spot where he judged the shots to be coming from. Mildred had been firing as well, throwing a well-spaced sequence of rounds at the shooter to keep him from moving off. When she had fired her last shot and had to reload, Ryan focused on the forest before him, looking for any movement. As he'd expected, the shooter used the respite to return fire in Mildred's direction, and the blast from the muzzle of his weapon allowed Ryan to spot him. It was a young man, a kid really, not much older than Jack. It was a shame to chill the teenager, but Ryan had no choice. The shooter was keeping him from rescuing Christy, and had to be eliminated. Ryan squeezed off two shots from the Sig Sauer, the first shot hitting the shooter in the shoulder, the second putting a tiny black spot in his left ear, and blowing out a huge hole on the right side of his head. After what had been several minutes of blaster fire, Now the area was filled with an odd silence. Mildred came over the top of the outcrop and approached Ryan in a more direct route than the one he'd taken to get to the shooter.
We've lost a few minutes.
Then let's not lose any more.
They turned and ran along the trail. Ryan wasn't as good a tracker as Jack, but there seemed to be enough freshly trampled grass and weeds to indicate that the rebels had been through here recently. He hoped he was right.
This door leads into the bunker.
Clarissa checked it.
Locked.
Stand back.
As the women complied, the albino teenager raised the guard's pump-action blaster and leveled it on the door's locking mechanism. The first shot mangled the door's handle. Jack pumped another round into the blaster's chamber and fired again. This time, the lock was pushed inward, twisting it inside the door and away from the frame. Jack lowered the blaster and gave the door a push with his finger. It opened. He shouldered the long blaster and led the two women inside, his Colt Python at the ready. Stairs led down to a second, much heavier door. They tried this one, and it was unlocked. Opening the door slowly and silently, they stepped into a dimly lit room and observed the surroundings. Against one of the concrete walls was a wine rack that held upward of 100 bottles. There was a refrigerator, walk-in freezer, stove, water stores, and washroom facilities. But the most important item in the room was Baron Franz Fox. The Baron was in the middle of the room, lying on a satin-covered bed, in the company of a woman with red hair. Jack recognized her as Deborah. She had bound the Baron to the bed with lengths of nylon around his ankles and wrists. Apparently he was under the impression that she was about to perform some sadomasochistic ritual on him. Someone turned on a light, and the woman looked over in surprise, and then relief. The Baron looked surprised, too, and tried for his blaster on the table next to the bed. His hand got close, but with his right arm tied to one of the bedposts, it was well out of reach. Jack raised the python, making sure the Baron's head was in his sights.
Don't kill him!
Melanie walked over to the table next to the bed and picked up the Baron's gun.
I want to do it.
Deborah rose from the bed and walked toward the sickly girl. She unearthed the Luger from underneath her dress.
Get in line, lady. I was here first.
Before her sister could say anything, Clarissa stepped between them.
I think there's a way that we can solve this problem so that everyone's happy.
Clarissa looked at Jack. He nodded and handed his python over to her.
I'll shoot Baron.
The three women pointed their respective weapons at the Baron's head.
Didn't expect to find yourself in this situation, did you, Baron Fox?
The Baron said nothing. Deborah continued to train her Luger on his head.
At our mercy.
Clarissa paused and traced a line on Fox's body with the barrel of the python, starting from his right temple and moving down past his neck, over to his chest and abdomen.
Do you find this exciting, you sick fuck?
Melanie traced the Baron's former blaster in a similar path to Clarissa's, only this time she didn't stop at his chest, but went straight for the spot between his legs.
Maybe I should shove this gun up your ass and screw you with it. Let you see how it feels to be rutted.
What I've done because the great man wished it. He preached the sacred practice of rutting with multiple partners. It's not about birthing babies, or that's a good side effect for trading purposes, but rather it's about pleasure. You love rutting, and I love rutting. I rot, therefore I am, the great man spoke, and so shall it...
Clarissa handed the python back to Jack.
You know, I'm really getting sick and tired of hearing the word rut. I think we should make it a new law in Fox Farm that if that word is ever spoken again, the person who says it gets shot.
I agree. It's quite annoying.
That makes three of us. Let's get the hell out of here.
Ryan and Mildred came to a rise in the terrain that gave them a good overview of the land in front of them. In the distance, they could see a large body of water, which had to be Erie Lake, and which seemed to be where the rebels were heading. There were boats lined up along the shore as well. But the lake was still several miles away, and they hadn't caught sight of the rebels for a long while.
Oh! Where do you think they could have gone to?
There!
Ryan pointed to the southwest. He drew his extended finger back and made a fist.
Fire blast!
He could see the members of the group clearly as they crossed a weed-infested two-lane roadway. There were at least 24 in the party, and in the center of them all was the unmistakable red hair of Christy Roth.